Healthcare reform underway here in North Carolina. This state did not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, but there is some pursuit of other initiatives that could radically change healthcare. The State Health Department, or the Department of Health and Human Services, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina have teamed up to work on a program that shifts how healthcare is paid for. So instead of the traditional fee-for-service model, payments would be based on health outcomes. And that is not the only initiative that has traction in North Carolina. Dr. Mark McClellan is here to tell us more. He's founding director of the Duke Margolis Center for Health Policy at Duke University, also a physician and a professor of business, medicine, and health policy. Mark McClellan, welcome to the State of Things.
Frank, great to be here with you.
Tell us a little bit about this plan that's underway or what it is that we're looking at here in the state of North Carolina.
Frank, you talked about some of the main points. The real goal is shifting from paying for health care, which has, as you know, increasing costs and is just not getting the job done for a lot of Americans. We're seeing worse health outcomes overall in this country, especially for lower income individuals, people in rural areas. So this is about switching to paying for health and putting in place a lot of new kinds of supports to help doctors, patients, health plans, others, community organizations work together to get the best health at the lowest cost.
So in schematic form, right now what we do is doctor orders a test. You get the test because there's a reasonable chance that test is going to tell us what's wrong with you, and you pay for the test. It may or may not make you better, and you might or might not come back to that doctor's office for something else, and that's one of the problems that we have. You don't really get paid for making that patient healthier.
You don't get paid for making the patient healthier. We do get paid for the emergency room visits or the complications of the uncontrolled diabetes or the complications from heart disease, and we spend a lot of money on those treatments, but not really a lot of support for physicians, for community organizations that know better ways to keep people healthy and trying to align that.
What are those better ways, and what would you have to do in terms of policy to kind of redirect our attention to outcomes rather than procedures?
Frank, we know that a lot of the medical problems that people are having today are driven by things that aren't traditional medical causes. They're things like having problems with access to healthy foods in their community, problems with having access to a safe environment in which to live, even a home. A lot of people who show up in emergency rooms have these social drivers, these things in their environment that are the main contributors to their health problems. Similarly, a lot of people who I think would like to stay on their diabetes medications or modify their diet, they get a piece of advice from their doctor, but they don't necessarily get a lot of support with staying healthy and taking other steps to improve their health. We've got digital apps, a lot of new technologies that can help with that, but they're not really a big part of traditional healthcare yet.
Okay, so we can see sometimes these are called the social determinants of health, all of these things outside of kind of what you measure at normal procedures. The question then becomes, what do you do? How does that become a matter of policy? And what do physicians and providers have to do with expanding not only their vision about this, but perhaps improving the outcomes?
Well, two things. And the reforms in North Carolina are asking healthcare providers to think bigger about how to improve the health of their patients and make a bigger difference in the health of their communities. But along with that, the state, working together with health plans, you mentioned Blue Cross, United, AmeriHealth Caritas, others are involved in this as well, are trying to contribute to a better infrastructure so that if doctors find a problem with someone who's got an issue with hunger or an issue that is getting in the way of them managing their medical condition, there's actually something they can do about it. That's not traditionally part of medical practice, but by reimagining medicine to make it more about teams and communities working together to get the best health outcomes at the lowest cost, we think we can make a difference.
Yeah, but look, let's say I find out that we've got a whole community here that just doesn't have access to healthy foods. And we also maybe notice, and I'll get into the metrics and how we measure all this in a second, but we also notice that that community has more visits to the ED. There is more uncontrolled diabetes and chronic health care costs that ultimately drive costs for all of us. So we get it. We've measured all that. What do I do? Do I have to increase spending to provide food or at least access for food? To what extent is the state and state spending the budget, for instance? Let's start there, implicated in this.
The goal is to spend differently, not to spend more, to spend at these root causes of health problems and people who are showing up at the emergency room and are having trouble controlling their diseases. So healthcare organizations across the state, like Vidant Health down east, and they're dealing with a hurricane and other issues today too, but they're spending more resources working with community-based organizations, investing in data systems, electronic data that help them identify some of these people in the community who are having trouble and work with their physicians to connect them to the resources that are available. And it would be a better way to spend the money than just on more emergency room visits.
So then insurance companies would be involved in redirecting some of...
Insurance companies are very much a part of this. So Blue Cross has taken the lead, but other insurers in the state, I mentioned some of them, are also part of this effort. It really is a redirection of the way that healthcare works, changing the rules of the game from paying for medical complications and traditional medical treatments after the complications happen to paying for keeping people healthy.
So I want to get a clear picture of how this might work. I know that you're in the exploratory phase now, but this means an insurance company, instead of only paying for procedures, would then say, okay, here's some money to develop better access, and I don't know what that looks like. Yeah. We're going to take money out of that as though we've just paid a claim, and we're going to make better health outcomes for this community.
That's right. We're going to put more money up front into primary care practices and then help them build out these capabilities to work with the community and work with their patients outside of the doctor's office visit. We're going to take the money that's been going to hospitals and work with the hospitals to turn them into healthcare systems that work in the community in addressing these social drivers and also other things that with modern technology, digital technologies, apps and things can really help people manage their chronic conditions.
So talk about that. Let's talk about the way technology might figure into this.
Well, the state has set up a program called NC360 that at the community level brings together data from healthcare systems on people who are having medical complications and have these unmet drivers of their medical complications with information from the community resources, community groups that can raise their hand and say, you know, I can provide access to nutritional meals. I can provide help with transportation to that doctor's appointment that would avoid having to get an ambulance to take a patient to the emergency room. That kind of digital connection, a sort of a social network applied to health, not just treating medical complications, is an important part of this. And then a lot of the primary care groups are taking some new steps, getting some new support and additional resources to help their patients use apps to track their conditions, refills that are missed in order to act more quickly to fill in these gaps in care.
It does mean a change in the culture in the medical community that's been used to sort of filling out finding the code to put on the form, right? I mean, it does mean spending more time with the patient to figure out what might be going on.
It does, Frank, but if you look at that, that is not a culture today that medical professionals like. They don't like filling out all the codes. They don't like having only limited time to spend with patients. They would much rather have more flexibility in getting a patient what they need and getting paid for what really matters.
Well, agencies in Greensboro have put one of these new initiatives to the test in their asthma partnership demonstration project. Kathy Colville is here to tell us about that. She's Healthy Communities Director at Cone Health and one of the collaborators for this project. She joins us from our studio in Greensboro. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Frank. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Tell us about your project and what it does.
So the Asthma Partnership Demonstration Project was actually a small research study that we started several years ago, and it had such great results, sort of along the lines of what Dr. McClellan was talking about, reimagining medical care, involving the community, and looking at the social drivers. Those results were so exciting and inspiring that it's kind of lit a fire underneath us. And we're really trying to do exactly what Dr. McClellan's talking about, reimagine how we do healthcare.
Well, tell us what you did, because you had 41 families, right? And so tell us exactly what happened in that pilot.
Really exciting. So 41 families, the children had asthma, and with these families, medication and education by itself were not enough. We had kids who were having to come to the emergency department to get care and even some hospitalizations, which was a clue to us that standard medical care just by itself wasn't enough. So there were housing specialists from Greensboro Housing Coalition that visited with each of these families and went through the home and looked for things that are in the home that could be making the kids sick and causing those flare-ups. They looked underneath kitchen cabinets and looked for leaky pipes. They looked for old carpeting, things with the heating and ventilation systems, and identified those things. And then we had some money from some foundations and others to help to fix those things for families. We spent on average about $500 per family to put those things together. And then we saw dramatic results from that. The dramatic results more than paid for what it cost to go out and do that work. So we went from an average of spending those kids' medical costs being over $8,000 a year to being around $4,000 a year. So it's actually more than a 50% reduction. And anybody who's got a child with asthma knows that it isn't just about medical care and cost. It's really about peace of mind. Those kids were missing less school. The parents weren't having to miss work unexpectedly, and they weren't as worried about their kids because they knew that they could do things at home to help prevent that.
Kathy, is there any sense, forgive me for interrupting, but I just wonder if this can be scaled up at Cone Health and other places. How do you do that?
So that's what we are trying to do right now. We were so inspired by those results that we said, how do we build a system that does this and produces these kind of results for all children and all families? And Dr. McClellan alluded to that in some ways. He talked a little bit about us putting together electronic systems. He talked to us about freeing up provider time and figuring out how is it that doctors can find a time during that visit to talk with patients about these things. For us, we've really been invested in the NC Care 360 program, and we're building that into our clinical visits so that when we know that there's an issue here, we're sending a referral right away to help get that resolved.
Mark McClellan, let me ask you about this, because we have a hugely entrenched, very well-funded at this moment, medical infrastructure. It's there. It's big. It's strong. Do you have to change a thing like that all at once? How do you imagine if this were to work and if everybody in the nation said, wow, what a great idea, Mark? Can we really do it, and how would it take place?
Well, we are doing it, just to pick up on what Cone Health is doing. So the way that they had to do that asthma pilot program was go out and find extra money to pay for steps that actually end up lowering healthcare costs overall and giving people, kids with asthma, a much better life. They're spending more time at school and not having asthma complications. So what this is about, what the next steps are, making this more automatic. So the default is to pay for the stuff that really works, not to only pay for the traditional medical complications. So that means moving the money in the directions that we talked about, paying for health, not paying for traditional health services alone, and then putting these support steps in place. Around the state, there are a number of examples of programs like this that are working, where because of NC Cares 360, doctors have been able to ask a question about what's bringing you back to the emergency room. If it's because someone doesn't have a home or because there's violence at home, they now have a direct connection to local community-based services that can address that problem. And we're building in a way to shift the resources. You know, that's much better than spending the money in the emergency room. So this is going to take time, but every major system in the state, I think, is going to end up participating in it. A number are already working with the state of North Carolina and Blue Cross, systems like Duke, systems like UNC, systems like Cone, Vidant, others around the state. And we're hoping this will move forward as quickly as possible.
So it sounds like you've got systems, providers, insurance companies all looking very seriously at this and already taking steps. Is there a role for the state and policymakers in this?
Absolutely. The state is an important influence, and Secretary Mandy Cohen, working with Republican Democratic legislators, it's been a bipartisan effort, have put together a framework that the state is implementing. The state's not the only group that pays for health care. Blue Cross, other private insurers matter too. And even in the Medicare program, people who have Medicare in North Carolina are now getting some of their benefits, additional benefits like services at home and services from care coordinators, care managers, people who help them manage their chronic conditions, because there's some changes taking place in Medicare payment too. We're really redoing the whole rules of the road, and our program at Duke is trying to help bring all of these different parties together to make this shift.
Dr. Mark McClellan, founding director of the Duke Margolis Center for Health Policy at Duke University. He's also a physician and a professor of business, medicine, and health policy. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Also talking with Kathy Colville, Healthy Communities Director at Cone Health, who joined us from our studio in Greensboro. Kathy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Frank. Bye-bye.
You can find links to all of this at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, live music. They're fresh from Hopscotch, Bleeder on the State of Things. Stay tuned.